That reading again is Matthew chapter 13. Did I say 15? Yeah. Well, we'll give that a crack later. We'll do that some other time. Today we'll do chapter 13, verses 51 and 52. Rob, you were panicking then. It's all good. It's all good. All right. Hear the word of the Lord. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. Why don't we pray together before we have a look at our word? Lord God, we thank you for the words of eternal life, and we thank you that your Spirit has caused us indeed to surrender all. This morning, we come humbly before you and we ask that you would teach us, that you would show us your glory, that we would know something more about the kingdom of heaven and the love and the mercy that you have given to us. We ask that your Spirit would be welcome here and at work among your people. And we ask for this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Church, I've never really been a big fan of people coming to my door to try to sell me stuff. Maybe you're the same. Maybe you're sitting down for dinner, you're trying to get the children to bed. Maybe you're watching Escape to the Country. And then all of a sudden, somebody comes knocking on your door trying to sell you something that you didn't even want in the first place. It's pretty annoying. But one thing that I've always admired about these door-to-door salesmen is their ability to answer any question that you have about the product that they're trying to sell you. In fact, this happened to me the other night with a young guy who caught me watering the garden, to which there was no escaping him. He seemed to really know the product that he was trying to sell me. He could answer all of my questions. And as I pointed that out to him, he said that that was the case because the guy who had employed him had really taken the time to teach him all about the industry and how his product is really the best in the business. And so this young guy had no hesitation to tell others about what he had. And he was happy to answer any questions that they might have. Now, I mentioned that to you this morning because in very much the same way, Jesus had gathered his disciples together so that he could teach them about the kingdom of heaven. So that as they went out and proclaimed the gospel, they would be well equipped not just to tell others about the gospel, but be able to answer anyone's questions about the true nature of the kingdom as well. And as we've seen Jesus do this, we've seen him do it because the Jews were expecting a physical kingdom to be set up in this world, where the Gentiles would be kicked out and the Jews, they would become a world superpower. And so Jesus had to really take his time to teach these disciples about the true nature of how the kingdom really works in this world and about the spiritual landscape that his disciples were about to go out into and how people might be really saved by the gospel. All this to say, in the passage that we have before us this morning, we see that it's incredibly important to our Lord that his disciples proclaim the gospel, share the gospel with knowledge and understanding, so that as this world questions and queries, we might have an answer about the things that we are sharing with them. That's what we're going to have a look at this morning in these two very short and powerful verses. In verse 51, we're going to see that Jesus doesn't want his disciples to simply just be interested in the gospel, but desires that we would apply its truths so that as we apply it, we'll be changed and then want to go out and share it with others. And then in verse 52, we'll see that because we know who and what the gospel is all about, that we should be able to explain the Bible in the right way so as to be a blessing to all those around us. But first, let's think about a little bit of context here. Now, you might be fully aware that we've been in chapter 13 of the book of Matthew for a good couple of months now, looking at these seven parables on the kingdom of heaven. And so before we get into the specifics of what we want to have a look at in our verses today, I think that it would be a really good idea to have a bit of a review of the parables that we've had a look at in this chapter, so as to get a better understanding as to what our Lord is driving at here. And let me encourage you, if you have your newsletter with you this morning, please, if you can, have it open to the sermon outline, because there's a little bit of information here and I'd love you to be able to follow along. So it's there in your sermon outline. So first, we see that the Lord gave us the parable of the sower and the seed. Now, it was there that Jesus gave us a picture of a farmer and how he went out to sow seed on different surfaces which produced different things, to which our Lord then explained to us that that's how the gospel will be received in this world. Many will outright reject the King of the kingdom. Some will appear to follow him and then after a time fall away, while yet others will produce real fruit of salvation. Our Lord's point, well, that the gospel isn't the problem, but there's something fundamentally going on with people's hearts. Second, Jesus gave us the parable of the wheat and the weeds. And it was there that Jesus gave us a picture of a field that was a mix of a good and a bad crop, to which our Lord explained to us that as the kingdom grows and will be seen in this world in the visible church, it'll be a mixed bag, a mixed bag of the genuine and the counterfeit, which is to say we mustn't expect the church to be perfect until the full manifestation of the kingdom comes at the end of the age. Third, we were then told in the parable of the mustard seed to not despise small beginnings when it comes to the kingdom's manifestation in this world. In this context, many in Israel were expecting the mega and the magnificent. But Jesus, he corrected his disciples, their thinking on this, by teaching them that the kingdom was indeed coming in, yet with the small and the minute. And though his disciples may not have been able to see it right there and then by using this example, Jesus encouraged them that the kingdom would grow and spread all over the known world, which led to our Lord's fourth parable, this time using the example of leaven and bread, in which we learned that we should never underestimate just how far and wide the kingdom is going to spread in us and in this world. And that's because, like leaven through bread, it's in its very design to change everything that it comes into contact with. And then last week, Mark took us through three final parables. The parable of the hidden treasure, the pearl of great price, and the fisherman's net. And it was there that our Lord taught us that there's nothing more precious and more valuable in this world than taking hold of the kingdom of heaven. It's the most important thing, the most precious thing, and nothing else even comes close to it. Because at the end of the day, when all is said and done, Jesus will come to judge this world and his kingdom will be purified. He will take out the counterfeit, to which the true children of the kingdom will be blessed forever. And so in light of all of that, we turn to verse 51 of our chapter this morning, where our Lord asks his disciples, "Do you understand all of this?" To which we see them reply, "Yes." Now, church, in just those first couple of words there, we learn something vitally important about the Christian faith. I think it's this. The message of the good news of the kingdom, the gospel, well, it isn't meant to be just something that's listened to or something that's just meant to pique one's interest in a whole bunch of theological information. It's meant to be understood so as to be embraced by the one listening to it. Because, as I said before, it's designed to transform its hearers. To put that another way, the question that our Lord asks his disciples here shows us that he wanted to make sure that they understood what he was saying because he wanted them to be changed by the truth of it. Which is to say, he didn't just want to reveal some theological truths to these guys so that they could go, wow, I never thought of that before, and then just move on and do nothing about it. Oh, our Lord, he wants their whole lives to be transformed by what he had revealed to them about the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, so that they would then go and do something about the things that they had heard. I'm absolutely in awe of the teachers of the school that my children go to. The way that they interact with them is absolutely beautiful. Now, I'm not going to mention any names here, but one of the teachers with one of my children will give an instruction, and then a few moments later will get down to their level and ask if they've understood what they've just been told, so as to give my little one a chance to ask any questions. And I'm amazed with how my child actually repeats what's been said most of the time and how much they've actually taken in and understood. To which this teacher will then say, right, it's great. Now go off and do it. It's a beautiful way of getting the message across without shouting, demanding, or accusing that little one of rebellion. Now, a simple instruction is given. And then because my child is given a chance to reflect on what they've been told, given time to really mull over it, have a good think about it, they then know how to go and apply it. And in much the same way, our Lord, he has this classroom full of little spiritual babies that have been given ears to hear, but they're still learning the basic elementary principles of the kingdom of heaven. And so Jesus, he somewhat paints them pictures with these parables, and then he sits them down, and notice it, the context here, he sits them down in this house while they're all by themselves, and he says, right, do you understand what I've been telling you? Do you see what I'm getting at? Do you understand what the kingdom is about? It's a scene where a teacher gives his students time to stand back and evaluate and ask any questions that they might have. I think it's a bit of breathing space as well for them to think, have I actually got this? Do I understand what he said? Does this make sense to me? I think it's a beautiful picture that we're given of our Lord here, because this is the God of the universe, the Word made flesh. But he deeply cares about the way in which his people develop in their knowledge of the truth. Notice it, Jesus doesn't speak above them in these great big theological terms that they can't understand, which he could have. But he spoke to them on their level. He gave simple, everyday illustrations which revealed complex themes of the kingdom, but in a way that they could relate to with life experience that they had had in everyday life with things like seeds and trees and weeds and so forth. And then he asks them. He doesn't demand it of them, he asks them. Do you understand this? Do you get it? At its core, it's personal, it's practical, and it's beautifully pastoral. And might I say, brothers and sisters, that is the heart of Christian preaching and teaching. It's about bringing the people of God together to think on what they have heard, to understand what's been given so that we might go and apply what we've been heard, what we've been told. The brilliant 20th century English theologian J.C. Ryle, he puts it like this: a sermon without application is like a letter posted without an address. It might be well written, it might be dated correctly, it might have even been signed beautifully, but it's useless because it never reaches its destination. So is the sermon without application. Didn't people in olden days have such a wonderful way to express the English language? Why is application so important, we might wonder? Well, because as we've seen over the weeks, as we've seen in this series, just hearing the word of God will not profit any of us. No, one thing that we have seen over and over again is that we are to bear the fruit of the kingdom in this world. And that comes by hearing and doing. Hearing and doing. Brothers and sisters, as we've seen, we are the people of God and we have been given by God's grace alone ears to hear. But we mustn't just come to church and listen and then that's that. No, we must put into practice what we've been told. We see it here in our passage this morning. Jesus doesn't just want to give his people mere theological truths. No, though knowing the truth of the gospel is vitally important for us to know so that we can share and defend it, he wants us to reflect on what is said, understand its implications, so that we might apply what we've heard. I mean, we see this when we fly to different places, right? When the airline host gets up and they show you how to use the mask and the belt and then they do those little hand signals to tell you how to get off the plane. Well, believe it or not, they're not just doing a little dance for you, which I thought they were doing for years. No, they're giving us vitally important information that we're meant to listen to, that we're meant to assimilate so that we can apply the things we've been told. They're telling you something that's meant to be put into practice. And any teacher worth their salt desires that the people of God put into practice the things that we've been shown from the Bible. It's a delight, it's a great pleasure of any pastor to be able to get up before the people of God from week to week. But with that said, here at Grace Christian Church, no one's up here to just give you a theological lecture so that you can go home puffed up with theological knowledge. No, the job that the elders here have of this from this church is to teach you the truth of the gospel so that you might understand it and then put into practice by the wonderful power and the work of the Holy Spirit, the things that you've heard. Again, J.C. Ryle says, on our part as hearers of the word, let's take with us to church, not just our bodies, but our minds, our reason, and our hearts. God wants to search us out in our innermost being with the proclamation of his word, and he wants to transform our lives by it. That's God's desire. He wants to transform our lives by his word. So with that said, yes, in context here with the passage that we have here this morning, the disciples were meant to be taught great wonderful truths by way of these parables that Jesus gave. They were to be equipped to answer any questions about Christ and his kingdom, and they were to proclaim it, absolutely. But they were also meant to apply the things that they had heard. And that's very much what we here and now are meant to do as well. So for the next few moments, I want to take a very brief look back on these parables that we've heard over the last few weeks and think how they might apply to us. First, with the parable of the sower and the seed. We're meant to hear this parable and reflect on what kind of reception we have given the gospel. One obvious application is to ask ourselves, what kind of fruit defines my life right now? Is it the fruit of the gospel? Am I living out the conviction of my Christian confession? Or does my life clearly testify that I am living for something else? Going through the motions of dry, dead religion, maybe. There's only one soil in that parable that was defined as a true disciple, and Jesus gives it to us to reflect on what kind of life we are living so that we might not be deceived by our own pride. Second, with the parable of the wheat and the weeds, in context, people thought, as I said before, that the kingdom was going to be perfect on this side of eternity. And as Jesus revealed to them, that's just not going to be the case. And so if you've been deeply disappointed or hurt by the church in the past because of the conduct of some of its professing members, and you're tempted to write God off completely, then, dear one, please listen to the message of this parable. I would say to you this morning that the church was never designed to be perfect on this side of eternity. No, as we saw, it's a mixed bag. It's a hospital full of sick people in varying degrees of separation from their sinful lives. It's not a gathering of perfect people. So when you see the church acting out of step with the character and the commands of our Lord, might the truth of this parable somewhat encourage you? Jesus said it would be this way. But that's no excuse to write him off or his people completely. The challenge is, be part of the genuine. Third, with the parable of the mustard seed, we're encouraged not to despise small beginnings. So maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking of your friends and your family and they just seem to be making no progress in the gospel. Maybe you've shared it with them 100 times and your knees hurt because you've pled with the Lord to do something about it. Well, dear one, this parable encourages us that the kingdom might not always look so bold and beautiful straight away. Sometimes a lot of the work that's going on is taking place in the places that we can't even see. I'd also say that we're somewhat encouraged within ourselves with the fourth parable of the leaven and bread. Maybe you genuinely love the Lord, you're serving him, you're obeying him, you love him, but still see where the flesh wages war in your life and you're sick and tired of the sin that so easily hinders. We'll be encouraged here this morning to not give up, because there is a power, there is a work of the Spirit going on in his people. God works his way right throughout every part of his people, transforming us more and more into the image of his precious son, Jesus. The power of sin has been conquered at the cross, dear one, and the power of the Spirit will not be overcome in you. God is at work at this very moment. Don't give up hope. 5th and 6th in the parable of the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price, I think this one speaks for itself. It's fresh in our minds from last week. Do you treasure the kingdom of heaven above all else? Is it worth more to you than anything else in this world? Would you give anything up just to have it? If not, why not? Seventh and finally, the parable of the fisherman's net. We're warned, are you genuinely pursuing Jesus? Have you trusted him with everything that you are? Have you called upon his name to be saved? Or are you still holding something back? Are you going through the motions of something that you think you should be doing, but that's all you're doing? Well, today is the day to assess these things and come before the Lord in confession. Brothers and sisters, so much more could be said and applied from these seven parables to our lives. But this is the point that I think we're meant to get here. The application of the Word of God is essential to our growing as disciples. That's what we see Jesus doing in this scene for his people. He asks them to reflect on what he has taught them. He asks, have you understood this? So that they might search their hearts and see if they have understood. So that they could go and apply it to their lives and thus be changed by the wonderful truth that he has told them. That's the reason that Jesus gathered his disciples together. It was to teach them about the true nature of the kingdom so that they would be transformed by it and equipped to go into all the world and share with everyone that they came across. And it's interesting because Jesus says that as they've sat there, as they've been at the feet of the rabbi, as they've been in this classroom, we might say, and as they've understood what he's taught them through these parables of the kingdom, that they're now, as we see here in verse 52, somewhat like the teachers of the law who have been equipped in the knowledge of the kingdom. And because they've understood this teaching, well, they're like the owner of a house who now brings out of their storeroom treasures, both new and old. Now, we're not going to spend as much time here, but we might ask briefly, what is Jesus saying to his disciples here? What's he getting at? Well, I would like to put a few things to you. First, no true disciple of Jesus is insignificant. No true disciple of Jesus is insignificant. Meaning, you are not insignificant. If you are Christ's disciple, if you have called upon his name, if you love his word, if you believe his word, if you do what you can to apply his word and ask him for the grace to help you and give you strength and walk in his way and in God's strength, well, you have something special to share with those around you. You might not know all the theological terms or the meaning of the Greek and the Hebrew, but you know the truth of the gospel. You know that you've had all your sin forgiven because of God's grace alone. You know that Christ has done everything that needs to be done to pay your debt. You know that there's a hope in you that you live out that has been given as a free gift. And you know that Jesus is the only way, truth, and life. Brother, sister, you have treasures to share with those around you. Second, as the owner of a house has the responsibility to feed the people of his household, so do the disciples of Jesus with the household of God. As I just said, you're not insignificant. No, you have something to share, and it's actually your responsibility your calling, your delight to do so. Third, this encouragement, these treasures that you share, that you get to share, isn't something that you've just made up. No, this treasure that you get is found all throughout the scriptures, both in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. Now, just something to say here. I know a lot of people that won't read the Old Testament because they don't understand what's going on there, so they only find themselves reading the New. But let me encourage you, because Jesus has given us gospel goggles, we might call it, we can read the Old without wondering how it's all going to play out. And that's the difference between the religious and the redeemed. The religious, they'll look at scripture and look at ways to work at keeping the law with all of their strength. Whereas the disciples of the kingdom will realize their weakness and they'll rely on Christ and all his strength and grace to accomplish it. And they live out of that grace. That's the difference between disciples of religious traditions, which in context here would have been the Pharisees, and the disciples that were at the feet of Jesus here, those of the kingdom. We don't reject the old as the church. We don't mishandle it. No, we understand the old by understanding it in light of the good news of Jesus Christ and his grace. Church, genuine biblical discipleship isn't just about knowing and understanding theological truths. No, though that's so important and part of our discipleship, it's also about applying what you hear and walking it out in the grace and the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit that's been given to you. And as you do that, I think, like that door-to-door salesman that I mentioned earlier, you will become more and more convinced of the gospel and be delighted to share it with others and to be able to give answers of the hope that you have, because you'll know that you have the real deal. Because as we apply the gospel, as we live it, as we walk it out, you'll see the gospel do exactly what it said it will do. I think that'll be something that you'll want to share with those around you. Each and every single one of us is responsible to do something with what we hear. We're responsible to understand the message, apply its truths, and share its treasures. I want to give you just one thing as we end here, a practical application. This is why I absolutely love being part of a Connect group. And why here at Grace, we really encourage everybody, if they're able to be part of a Connect group. Because though it's great to be together on a Sunday and hear from the Word and talk about the things that we've heard over tea and bickies, our Connect groups, well, they're a real time of encouragement where we can get around the Word and share with one another the things that we've learned and received from the Word in a more intimate and personal setting. I think it's the best place to be when you don't understand something, to ask questions, to pray for each other, to figure things out. Maybe you could have one of those WhatsApp things and you can text each other prayer requests and share life together. And when you get together, you can say, oh, no, I don't actually know what this means. Can someone explain it to me? And you can look at the scripture together, pray together. I get so much from the two groups that I'm involved in. I love receiving the wisdom that's given by those in my groups. I receive treasures from the old and the new, from amazing brothers and sisters that are a real blessing to me. Might I encourage you in that? If you don't know how to join a Connect group or even what it is, please come and speak to one of the elders after the service. We've got all the information in the newsletter. Church, we're each responsible to encourage one another in our most holy faith. You are not insignificant in this church. You're not. You're part of what makes the church, and you're called to share the treasures that God has shown you. Why don't we ask Jesus to help us in that now? Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you so much that our discipleship isn't something that we do in a vacuum, that you've given us a community here in Armidale that we can get together, that we can listen to the word, that we can pray together, that we can sing together, that we can encourage each other. Father, we're so thankful for the opportunity that we can meet in each other's homes during the week and really get into the meat of what you are telling us. Father, I thank you so much for your people. Maybe there's some here today that feel absolutely insignificant. Father, would you please apply the wonderful words of our Lord to their hearts? Would you give them opportunity to be an encouragement, a Christian witness to those around them for your glory? Would you be the one that opens doors? Would you be the one that fills us with your Spirit? Would you be the one that gives us courage to go out and to share you with the world around us? We ask this in your name. Amen.